The Man Cave Podcast is brought to you by Woods and Water Realty. Whether you're looking to buy or sell, Woods and Water Realty is your go-to real estate store. Check them out online at woodsandwater.com.
The Man Cave. A sanctuary. A sacred place. A place where we can go talk about the things we want to talk about. A place where we're surrounded by our favorite teams. A place where everyone is welcome. Grab a seat and a beverage. This is the Man Cave Podcast with Dan Casper.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Dan Casper here for another episode of The Man Cave Podcast. Hey, before we get into everything, I want to shoot you a quick reminder to make sure you are subscribing to the podcast, whatever the heck platform you're using to listen to podcasts, whether it's like Spotify, Google, Stitcher, iTunes. We're on Amazon now too. And, you know, if you like have iTunes, you can rate it. Give us like a solid rating, okay? Because the higher the rating and the more ratings, the easier it is for people to find out. If you're listening to, like, you know, Spotify or anything like that, share it, all right? Share it. I'm going to start throwing in some questions, some trivia questions, or you know, just general stuff for all of you to get a chance to win some stuff, like some Truly Twisted Tea swag stuff or something like that. So if you share it on the socials, on Facebook, Twitter, email, snail mail it, whatever the heck you got to do to send it to your grandma and grandpa, whatever. Send it. Word of mouth is the biggest way we can expand this podcast. I'm counting on all of you listening. I appreciate you and I love you all. So appreciate you tuning in to another episode of the Man Cave Podcast. We got a couple of them coming at you this week. So this is episode one. And on the docket here, we're going to talk a little Brewers with their reigning rookie of the year. Reliever, National League reliever of the year, too. Devin Williams, a bombshell. He's going to be out for the postseason. Maybe has a chance to go to the World Series. That's going to be our leadoff for this podcast. Then we're going to get into a little here's a thing. And, you know, anybody who knows me, whenever I get on a little bit of a tangent or something like that, I always kind of start it off with here's a thing. It's a running joke for a lot of people. So I'm like, what the hell? I'll make it into a segment. So there you go. And then we're going to finish it up with some closing arguments. Going to get to that. And then, of course, NFL picks in between. So let's get at it. Let's get the leadoff going. So our leadoff topic is the news, the bombshell news for every Milwaukee Brewers fan out there and probably to the team and coaches, staff, and fan base, whatever have you, everybody. I mean, the Brewers, who clinched the NL Central a couple of nights ago, did the typical celebration, champagne, beers flowing, all that sort of stuff. And then today, Wednesday night, came the news that Devin Williams, who was participating in a celebration, dude was drinking it up, living it up, said he had a couple cocktails there, and apparently punched a wall, got upset about something and punched a wall, broke his hand, and now he needs surgery, and he's going to be out. Going to be out, maybe coming back for a potential World Series, but that is a huge blow to the Brewers. I mean, you know, I'm a Brewers fan. A lot of you listening are probably Brewers fans, depending on where you're listening from. Hopefully we got some, like, you know, worldwide listeners or something like that. We got to expand this thing. That's why I need your help. But anyways, I mean, for a team that had World Series aspirations, still has World Series aspirations, still has World Series goals, to have one of their best pitchers, their setup man, the guy that comes in the eighth to hand it off to Josh Hader, now out. I want to know how the Brewers team is going to react to this, how the players are going to react to this. Are they going to have the next man up mentality? Are they going to let it get to them? Are they going to let it bother them? Are they going to be upset? Are they going to let that affect their play on the field? Can they stay focused? That's something to keep an eye on. I know, you know, they're going to say all the right things. They're going to say, next man up, we got this. We're gonna move on from it. It's a bummer, blah, 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 blah. They're going to do the whole, you know, spiel. But, hey, people are humans, right? People are humans, and sometimes it lets it creep it in there a little bit. So I'm going to be curious to see how the Brewers respond to this. And, I, you know, people, we've dabbled into the parties before, drinking and all that, and sometimes we know we get a little carried away here once in a while, and some of us have gotten a little too carried away. You know, not everybody's perfect out there, but this is just a weird story, and I mean, you know, the next question, I guess, is like, what did he get upset about that he punched a wall? You know, what did he get upset about in the middle of a celebration? Yeah, no, that caused him to do that. I mean, obviously anybody who's had a few beverages or a few cocktails knows that sometimes, you know, that makes you do some stupid and ridiculous stuff out there. But that is a huge blow to the Brewers. So where do they go from here? Who steps up? You know, maybe like an Aaron Ashby, maybe a Boxberger who has closing experience. He was kind of that seventh inning man. He comes in and moves up to the eighth spot or the eighth inning there. So they got options. They got a deep bullpen. But to lose your reigning rookie of the year, reigning reliever of the year from last year, that is a huge blow. That sucks for this Brewers bullpen. That sucks for this team. But they got options. They got options. It does take a little bit of a hit, but they've got good pitchers in that bullpen that can fill in. The offense, you know, it might get a little bit more antsy in those closer type games. So, hey, offense, you can help it out a little bit by being more consistent and putting up some more runs so they're not into tight closing situations all the time. So everybody just got to step it up. Just got to step it up and move on from that. So, but man, that was a damper. My main thing now is I want to see how the Brewers respond to this. I want to see if they, you know, because Christian Yelich a couple years ago, you know, he gets hurt. And that's when the Brewers kind of sparked their run to the postseason, right? He broke his kneecap. Brewers weren't playing that well. Then they go on this winning streak. They use that as motivation. Like, all right, we got to step it up. We got to do our thing. Let's see if they could do something similar to that. All right, next up, here's the thing. Here's the thing segment. This is, again, kind of one of those, anybody who knows me, you know, when I get on a little bit of a rant or when I get into a little bit of a deep discussion, both sides of the aisle there, I sometimes always start it out by saying, here's the thing. I feel very old school when I say something like that, you know, like an old-time grandpa or something like, well, here's the thing, Sonny. You know, so, I don't know, it's just something I think I just did on my own, and close friends of mine always kind of call me out or something whenever I start it like that. I'm like, hey, that's kind of a, maybe I can use that. You know, I tried writing a blog with it, and I'm like, you know what, maybe we'll move it to the podcast. We'll move it to the podcast, kind of my maybe rant or commentary, whatever we want to call it here. So, but, you know, looking at the football world, we're going to get to some NFL picks here after this segment, but everybody's talking about the matchup on Sunday Night Football. Tom Brady coming back to New England, Bill Belichick, et cetera, et cetera. There's a new book coming out by Seth Wickersham from ESPN talking about, you know, the Patriot dynasty, if you will, and some of the drama that was going on behind the scenes. You know, maybe everybody, it wasn't all like Camelots and all that sort of stuff like it was painted out to be. And, you know, I'll admit it. A few years ago, I was on the side of like, you know, the whole debate, is it more Belichick or more Brady for the Patriots' success? And I was on the Belichick side. And a few years ago, I said, hey, Belichick might go down as the best coach of all time. And I'm a Packer dude, you know. I'm from Packer country. And that's kind of a sin to say with Vince Lombardi over there. But I got to tell you, a few years later, and I know maybe, you know, these are just reports. These are sources. There's always going to be some skepticism whether it's all true or not. But I got to tell you, I've cooled down quite a bit on that. And I've kind of maybe switched to the side of like, maybe it was more Brady. You know, maybe it was. You know, Brady, I think the perception of him has changed a little bit. I know he's still annoying. He's like the Michael Jordan. You know, for me as a kid, I didn't like Michael Jordan as a player because he beat my team. So I was jealous of him. Now I love the guy. I think he's awesome. I think, you know, looking back at his games and watching him, I'm just like, dang, that guy was good. Brady's in that similar spot. He was in that similar spot. So, and then now you're seeing him being more open. You know, he's joking around on social media and all that sort of stuff. It's like he was unleashed, a little bit more personable. So I feel like the narrative has changed for Brady, maybe in a little bit more of a positive light. Bill Belichick, I think, has turned into maybe a little bit more of a negative light, especially with more stuff that's coming out, like books and blog posts
and all that sort of stuff. But the thing for me, I think it's a bit shocking how nothing leaked earlier. You know, I know there was some stuff leaking when Brady was still there at the end, cracks in the foundations and all that sort of stuff. But it is a little bit shocking that, you know, when you hear some of this stuff, it goes back, you know, not just a couple of years, but 6, 7, 8 years, something like that. So to me, it's a bit shocking how a lot of that stuff wasn't leaked earlier because of the day and age we are in. Social media, Facebook, Twitter, internet, radio talk shows, TV talk shows. And maybe that's a credit to all those individuals involved, Belichick, Brady, Robert Kraft, because they all had the same goal in the end. The number one goal was to win championships. They kept it in-house. They kept it between, you know, behind locked doors. They didn't let it creep out. They didn't let it, you know, deter them from the ultimate goal. They all shared that number one thing, which was winning a Super Bowl, winning a championship. And they won a lot. 6 over there. Brady's got 7. That's unreal. I don't think we'll ever see that again. Maybe not in my lifetime. So maybe that's a credit to those individuals for, you know, not letting it get to a point where it affected the play on the field. I think it does a little bit. But, you know, to me, it's a little surprising too that nothing really got leaked out. I know it once in a while it did, but it got shut down quite a bit. But back to Belichick and the Lombardi thing, like, you know, Lombardi and Belichick get compared quite a bit. And I think a lot of people do it because of the personality, because of the mindset. You know, it's football, it's football, it's football. Belichick has those press conferences. You know, they're tough, old school type of guys. But Lombardi was fairly charismatic. Yeah, he was intense on football. He was intense with his players. But have you heard a lot of players talk badly or ill towards Lombardi? No. Not really. You know, I know Henry Jordan had the quote about Lombardi treats us all like dogs or, you know, whatever like that. But, you know, that might be the only negative thing I've ever heard about Lombardi from some players. Whereas now you're starting to hear a little bit more. You see a little bit more from certain players, you know, having their thing to say about Bill Belichick, the negative stuff and that. But, you know, Lombardi was intense on the field and he was intense coaching. But you ask a lot of those players, you listen to a lot of those players, Lombardi had their, you know, that was like a father figure to them. They had their backs and social issues, other stuff. You know, look up the story about Lionel Aldridge, and, you know, he was a black linebacker going to be marrying a white woman. Teams had an issue with that. Pete Rozelle called Lombardi about it. Lombardi said, "This is my team. This is my team. I'm in charge of it. They want to get married? As long as they stay out of trouble, they can do whatever they want." He was a pioneer in that and just a bunch of other stuff. I mean, you listen to Kramer and you listen to old clips of Bart Starr and some of those guys. Yeah, they might have had their issues during playing times, like, you know, Jim Taylor and contract issues, but they knew that Lombardi had their backs. And you kind of wonder, I'm sure Belichick is, you know, looked out for a lot of his players, and obviously a lot of his coaches do come back when they lose out on head coaching jobs. And, you know, there's certain players that have stayed a long time with the Patriots and all that sort of stuff. But I don't know, like, I guess I'm kind of changing my narrative, or not my narrative, I guess my thought process on, I think Lombardi's, you know, still going up to be number one for me as the best coach of all time. And I'm curious to know in the next couple of years how the Belichick era is going to go with the Patriots, and if that dampens his status or how people view him across the league or in league history. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he'll still be a top 2 coach of all time, top 3 coach of all time. But, you know, does he maybe move off that number one step for a lot of people out there? Does he maybe do that a little bit? I don't know. It'll be interesting to follow, especially if more stuff kind of comes out about, you know, what he was like. I mean, apparently his owner with the book was calling him an idiot and not the smartest man, and just some kind of some damning stuff. And again, Don't know if it's 100% on the up and up, but you didn't hear a whole lot about that with Lombardi. You know, and I know there wasn't the social medias and there wasn't the Facebooks and all that sort of stuff. It was a completely different time. A completely different time, completely different, you know, mindsets and philosophies. And I understand that. And I think that factored into a lot of it. But, you know, it's just, I think it is taking a hit a little bit to Belichick's legacy. And I think, you know, the whole argument, is it Brady or Belichick that was mostly due for the success? I'm kind of switching it a little bit, and I'm going to the Brady side because, you know, I think a lot of those players, they wanted to play with Brady, and Brady did a lot of the recruiting, kind of like what he's doing in Tampa. So I kind of think it was the Brady effect. I don't know, just my opinion, but kudos. I do have to give them kudos for Kraft and Belichick and Brady, because if this was something that was, you know, going on for a while, for years, not just the final year or two, I think that's a credit to them, because it wasn't, you know, blown up while they were all there together and maybe could have been a more bitter ending, bitter divorce or anything like that. That's a credit to those guys, I think, because it seems like they put it all to the side for one common goal, and that was to win a Super Bowl, and they did exactly that six times. All right, we're going to take a quick break, quick message from our sponsors, and then we're going to make some NFL picks coming up next. All right, so here is your chance to win some Twisted Tea or some Truly swag, drinks, all that sort of stuff. This is my way to see how many of you are paying attention and listening to this podcast. All right, I want you guys to send me a picture of your man caves. This is the Man Cave Podcast, so send me your pictures of your man cave, and you'll be entered to win a prize pack from Twisted Tea and Truly Hard Seltzer. If you don't have a man cave, then I'm going to give you a key word here, all right? Because I realize some of you might not have man caves, but you want to get in on this thing, maybe don't have the space, or for whatever reason, you just don't. And that's totally fine. It's totally cool. So I'm going to give you a key word. So you can do this multiple different ways. One, send me a picture of your man cave, and tell you what, if you do have a man cave and you send me the pictures, I might feature you on the podcast, talk about it a little bit there. But your key word for this podcast is Lombardi. So you can tweet it at me, Facebook it at me. That's my kind of way of knowing that you're listening to the podcast. Then you will be entered to win a sweet prize pack from our friends at Twisted Tea and Truly Hard Seltzer.
Are you looking to sell your home or buy a new home? Or perhaps you're looking for some land to do some hunting or build your dream home on? Whatever the case may be, you need to check out Woods and Water Realty. Visit woodsandwater.com to check out all the listings out there for new homes, some land for hunting, or to build your new home on. Woods and Water Realty will work with you from start to finish to either put your home on the market and help find that new dream home for you, or that perfect plot of land. Woods and Water Realty, your real estate store.
All right, we are in week four of the NFL season. It starts Thursday night with the Jaguars and Bengals matchup between Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence. Last two first-round picks. I got to tell you, the Bengals, they got a shot to go 3-1 here, and I think it's a pretty dang good shot right here. You know, almost about a quarter of the way through the season. If this was just still a 16-game season, this would be the first quarter of the season. So I'm going Bengals, and I think they're going to go 3-1, and they're going to get the fans all pumped up. I mean, this they've been impressive. I got to give the Bengals some credit here. I think they go 3-1, and Trevor and Urban Meyer are going to still be looking for their first win of the season. I'm going Bengals. Then we've got the Giants at the Saints. I think the Giants are going to remain winless as well, so I'm going to go with the Saints to improve to 3-1. Chiefs at the Eagles. This is the Chiefs' victory all the way. They're going to go back to 500 at 2-2. Texans at the Bills. Bills playing really good after dropping their opener against Pittsburgh. Bills improved to 3-1. Panthers, Cowboys, Panthers 3-0. But everybody loves themselves the Cowboys right now, which is actually coming up in my closing arguments. For this game, I am going to go with the Cowboys for this game. Browns, Vikings. Vikings finally getting a win last week against Seattle. But I'm going to go with Cleveland on this one. I just like that defense going up against that Vikings offensive line. So I think Cleveland's going to improve to 3-1. Colts, Dolphins. Colts get their first win of the season. Dolphins, man. I mean, Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, you talk about a dude. Just the last year and a half, maybe even a couple years, it's like tank for Tua for Miami. They end up getting, what, the fifth pick in the draft, and they still get Tua. And even, like, halfway through his rookie year, fans are already ready to move on from the guy. I kind of feel bad for him. I know he's not playing this game. He's injured and that, but, man, I feel bad for Tua. I really do. Titans at the Jets. Titans win this one to improve to 3-1. Lions at Chicago. Lions have been close in their games. I mean, that was a heartache loss. Losing by a 66-yard field goal that doinked in. I think the Lions go to Chicago and win. Washington at Atlanta for this game. Washington. They're struggling right now. They really are. I think they right the ship. I'm going to go with Washington defeating Atlanta. Cardinals, Rams, battle of undefeateds in the NFC West. Rams looking really good right now. I'm going to pick them to remain undefeated, and the Cardinals getting their first loss. Seahawks, 49ers. San Francisco's really banged up. I'm going to go Seattle to get the win and improve to 2-2. Steelers at Packers. Everybody is off the Steelers bandwagon right now. They're off it after they got that first win on the road against Buffalo. Then they've looked rough. A lot of people calling it Ben Roethlisberger's done. He's washed up and all that sort of stuff. You got Green Bay coming off of a big win on the road. A heck of a ending there against the 49ers. If this was like middle of the season, I might say this is like set up for a Steelers win. But there's a little bit that's giving me a little bit of hesitation here, because everybody's like, you know, so down on the Steelers, it just feels like, okay, they're probably going to come out and just throw it all over the place and run all over Green Bay and all that sort of stuff. But I think Green Bay's got the eye of the tiger right now. They got the eye of the tiger. I'm going to go Green Bay improves to 3-1. Ravens going up against the undefeated Broncos. Denver's actually favored in this game, but I'm going to go Lamar Jackson and the Ravens in this one. I'm going to go with the Ravens in this one. I'm curious to see how Vic Fangio has a game plan, though, against the Ravens. Buccaneers, Patriots. Buccaneers are going to blow the Patriots out of the stadium. Buccaneers easily. Raiders, Chargers. Raiders undefeated, but they get their first loss of the season. Going up against the Chargers, my pick at the beginning of the season as a team to kind of watch. Those are my week 4 picks. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to wrap up the podcast with some closing arguments. Wrapping up the podcast, this episode of the podcast, episode 1 for this week. Closing argument time. Mike McCarthy, head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, recently said after their loss after their win on Monday night against the Eagles, this is Tuesday presser, that he was planning to talk to the team and how they handle success on a winning streak. And I'm like, caught me off guard a little bit. I'm like, we're 3 games in. They're 2-1. They've won 2 games in a row. Now, I'm a Mike McCarthy guy. I like Mike McCarthy. But I do think his time was up in Green Bay. It was the right move. I like Mike McCarthy, but I got to question this. And maybe it was more so because he could tell it from his players that they were maybe starting to get a little bit too hyped up and maybe reading their press clippings just a tad, just a little bit. So maybe, you know, he was sensing that. But, you know, to say it in the media, I kind of questioned that a little bit, because and if the players are starting to feel that way, you guys are 2-1, okay? You're 2-1. It's 3 games into the season. If we're freaking out about the Packers losing in week 1 the way they did and saying they're done, fire our defensive coordinator, all that sort of stuff, we need to say the same thing with a team that started 2-1. 2-1. Let's pump the brakes. There's what they got 16 more games, not 16 more games to go. 14 more games to go. They got 17 more games. 14 more games to go. We ain't crowning anybody. And I'm not just picking on the Cowboy players or the Cowboys themselves. It's the national media, too. A lot of people in the national media saying, Cowboys are for real. Cowboys are back. Buckle up. Here they go. Just calm it. 3 games in. Can we just stop? I mean, I get it. I feel like people either want the Cowboys to succeed or they don't. There's no middle ground. America's team, blah, blah, blah. They may be the most popular team, but they're also the most hated team. There is no middle ground when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. And maybe the Cowboys being good is good for the NFL. But I feel like it's not like the NBA. You know, the NBA, you know, they need the Lakers to be good. They need, you know, they want the Knicks to be good. You know, they're iconic franchises. I don't think you necessarily need that for the NFL because the NFL is so big already. It's so popular. I don't feel like they need that. But there's this thing with the Cowboys because they've got this tagline of America's team and all that sort of stuff that they go on a 2-1 start and people are so jacked up about it. Players, some media members, that sort of thing. But I mean, if they're already if McCarthy was kind of sensing it from his players that he's gonna have to talk to them about handling success and win streaks, and that win streak's only 2, by the way, and success with a 2-1 start, there's some issues then. I really believe that. There's some issues. So let's pump the brakes on the Cowboys, please. Let's pump it down. Let's slow it down. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. Hey, don't forget that little question I had in the middle. You want your chance to win some swag. Make sure you answer. You got to tweet it, Facebook it. You can find me on Twitter at DanKasper. Facebook page. Like it, follow it. Post it up on there too. Episode 2 coming up in just a couple days. Hey guys, thanks for listening to another episode of the Man Cave Podcast. But can you do me a quick favor? Can you subscribe, follow, like, and share the podcast? And, you know, rate it, like if you're on iTunes or anything like that. Just make it a good rating. That way other people can find the podcast too. Hey, we're everywhere. iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, you name it. We're all over. Spread the word about the Man Cave Podcast. Until next time, I'm Dan Casper, and we'll talk with you later.